Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Oh, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are to you are all things, you deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Let's sing it one last time. All the voices. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Welcome in this place. You're Praise the Lord. That you're calling me Mike. Can you hear me now? As I was saying last week, Pastor Al was talking about what we as believers ought to do with our time, our talent, and our treasure. And so this is a little message about giving. It's about treasure. And the Bible has a lot of things to say about treasure, how we earn it, how we spend it, how we keep it, how we give it. But first and foremost, actually it's to give glory to God. And everything we do, we're called to give all to the glory of God. In Proverbs 3:9 says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." And so God has entrusted us, and he calls us to be good stewards with what he has given to us. As I was looking at the news throughout the week, it really grieved my heart that all the cataclysmic events that are happening in different states, Ohio, Oklahoma, Texas, Missouri, floods, tornadoes, people suffering loss of life, their homes are being destroyed, totally destroyed. And it caused me to think about us here. You know, maybe we're all probably anticipating a great earthquake. And, you know, I just put myself in their position to see what am I going to do if that happens to us, lose everything, except I keep my life. Well, of course, life is more important than the physical things. The physical things can be replaced. God can replace them. But we serve a God that will replace those things that we've lost. And this is the most important thing we need to remember. In Psalm 46, it says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains are cast into the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved." That tells me that God is with us no matter what, because there are going to be earthquakes. There are going to be floods. There are going to be fires. We're going to come across through devastation, but God is always going to be with us. So as believers, we're called to give, not just to the body of Christ, but to all people. When we see a need, when we see like that big tsunami back in 2004 in Indonesia, I just can't fathom that many loss of life. And us, you know, we're pretty well, I would say, rich compared to most people that live in different countries. So we have to count our blessings every day. When we give to the Lord, it's an honor to give to him. In fact, we're just giving a little portion of what actually he owns everything that we have anyways. So when we give, just make sure, you know, it's with a grateful and a cheerful heart, because he's the one that's going to, it gives us the capacity to earn what we're by our means and everything. So it really blesses the Lord when we give, but with a cheerful heart. Of course, he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And you know that when you give somebody a gift or something like that, or something that somebody wasn't expecting, and they're just excited about it, doesn't that bring joy to your hearts? I know it does with me. And when I share the gospel of grace with somebody and they're interested, I'm telling you, I get more blessed than they do. So as we give today, make sure it's with that cheerful heart. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to be here, to come here to hear your word, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you just be with Pastor Al as he delivers your word. Lord, may it just transform all of us, Lord God. We are living in our last days. We see it before our very eyes, Lord. And we, as believers, need to be equipped to give your gospel of grace to others, Lord, not just to be complacent, not to be comfortable, not to compromise, Lord, but to give it out, Lord God. Because souls are very precious. They're precious in your sight. Your word tells us that you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So, Lord, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word, your promises, for your great sacrifice that you did for us on the cross. In your precious name, amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray together that God will speak to us. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that you are the praised one. You are the worshipped one here. Lord, I thank you that you are the King. You are the Lord. We come to you, Lord, and we know that the word of life is with you, Lord, is here. Lord, I pray that every heart will be open to receive your word, Lord. All of us need you. All of us needs your grace and mercy. We need your presence, Lord, to cover us. We need your glory to cover us, Lord. We need you. We need you. You're the only one we need. You're the only one we need, Lord. We open our hearts, our mind to receive you and to hear you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Okay, so we're going to read from John 8, from 1 to 11. I think this is what I'm opening now. Yes? You want to read from your...
But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up, he saw no one but the woman, and said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.
Okay, so I'm going to share with you, I know that we heard a message before, like 2 weeks ago, from Pastor Ad. And that was, as I was listening to what God is saying, I felt like, okay, we need to revisit this. And I for me personally, I went home and I studied more, and I was so blessed. So I asked Pastor Al if I can share a little bit more about it. So, okay, so... The same story, we heard it 2 weeks ago. We heard it, we will hear it again, and we heard it again, but with maybe a few ideas, a little bit more, and we're going to tie it also with Isaiah 4. And this is one of the things that, as you were preaching, I felt like Isaiah 4. So I went and opened Isaiah 4, and I was like, wow. That's very similar to the story that we're hearing. So we're going to study it with the Isaiah 4. Okay, so Jesus went to the Mountain of Olive, which is Mount of Olive is more spread out around all the mountains of Zion, of Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sorry, in Arabic. So it's kind of like surrounding all the mountains, which one of them is Mount of Zion. Why I'm saying that? Because we will need it when we start reading Isaiah 4. So Jesus went into the Mount of Olive, and in the early morning, and he was teaching in the temple, and he went from there, and he was there in the on the mountain, and the Pharisee, the scribes and the Pharisees brought into him a woman. First, who's the scribes? The scribes and the Pharisees are the two legal group. They know the law. And their job is when someone has an issue or question about the law, they go to them and they say, for example, we're having an issue with marriage. We don't know how marriage goes or works. They go to the books, to the law, and take the books and read it for them and teach them what to do in a situation like this. Marriage, inheritance, buying, selling, all this, their job is to teach people how to live their life according to the law. But the only problem is they added a little bit to the law, they added the traditions of the fathers. So they only, when someone comes to them, they don't only reveal the truth of the Word of God, they also try to judge the people also according to the traditions of the fathers, which is added, yeah? Which is makes it more harder for people. But I don't think their job is to judge people. I don't think their job is to bring a woman, to go and find a woman caught in adultery and bring it to Jesus. It's not their job. It's not their job to do that. It's their job to reveal the truth and teach people the truth. So here, they came, and I like this. I like this. They brought this woman into him. They brought this woman into him. What's the reason from last week's? If you were here, you should answer this question. What's the reason those scribes and Pharisees brought this woman to Jesus? What's the reason? What's their motivation? Remember? What did they want to do? What? Trap him. And the Bible says they wanted to what? Accuse him. They wanted to accuse him. So their motivation is they want to trap Jesus. But what happened is this woman came to Jesus. This woman came to Jesus. I don't know. I was like, when I was studying this, I was like, hallelujah. This woman, if they didn't want to trap Jesus, if they didn't want the scribes and Pharisees, if they didn't want to trap him and accuse him, this woman would continue her lifestyle the same. But somehow, they brought her to Jesus. And Jesus turned the curse in her life. They brought her to Jesus so he can judge her with being what? Stoned. To be killed. But they brought her to Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know what happened to your life and your life that can bring you to Jesus. And the enemy wants to destroy. The enemy wants to kill. The enemy wants to steal. But somehow, that will bring you to Jesus. And in his presence, everything will be turned from curse to a blessing. From death to life. From judgment into freedom. Are you coming here, tradition? Your parents forced you? Traditionally, you're coming here Sunday. I don't know why you're here. But you know what? I know that because you're here and Jesus is here, anything in your life can be turned into a blessing because you're here. They brought her to Jesus. They brought her to Jesus. They brought her to trap him. But he said, okay, you want to trap me? I'm going to bless. I'm going to turn the life of this woman, not upside down, down up, right side up. I'm going to fix her life. I'm going to fix her life. I always think, why was I kicked out from Sudan? The enemy destroyed my life. My life was destroyed. No. It's only happened. So I come to Jesus. When I come to Jesus, everything will be turned over. Amen? Amen? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? So can you say it? I'm here. Say it out loud. I'm here. That God can turn every curse to a blessing. Death to life. Amen. Amen. So they brought him to Jesus. They brought her to Jesus. They brought her to Jesus and they said, she committed adultery, and he turned the things around. They said unto him, Teacher, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses, and they started to trap him. And they started to, they wanted what? To accuse him. They said that, this is they said, testing him that they might have to accuse him. To accuse him? Really? You're coming. You are coming to accuse me? Okay. Wednesday, we study a Bible. We study a book called "Experiencing God." Last week, and it was confirmation for me. When we were studying that day, we were studying about when God invites you, reveal His truth, to invite you to join Him. He invites you to a place that He works. And one of the indications is that to know where God works is that you see that where God works, He's that place, God doing things only God can do. James, can you show us the slide? So those are the things that only God can do. When you see a place have all these things happening, you see, you know that God is working in this place. So what's the things that God only can do, or only God can do? One, draw people to Himself. He draw people to Himself. You find people asking questions. Find people want to know more. This is where God works. Join Him there, okay? Cause people to seek Him. I want to know. I want to know God. This is the only God can do this. No one. Bring the best teacher of the Bible. Try to convince a sinner with his sin. You cannot. Try to teach someone the truth of God. You cannot. Only God can do that. Only try to invite your neighbor or your co-worker to church or to a prayer meeting. No one can do it. Unless God draws people to Himself, they will come. Unless God causes people to seek Him, they will start to seeking Him. Reveals the spiritual truth. Only God reveals the spiritual truth to our hearts. And one of the things, or the last three things that God does, only God can do, is to convict the world of guilt and sin. The other thing, convict the world of righteousness. Convict the world of judgment. This is the only God can do these things. If I talk to you about something you're doing and try to convince you, no, this is wrong. You're gonna give me 100 reasons why you're doing it and it's right. I cannot convince anyone. Only God can convince people with the truth. I just remembered as I was talking, a big leader came from a nominal, like a tradition church. I'm not going to name it. And in this church, they believe in saints, that they should pray for saints. And everyone is trying to convince him. You should only pray for God. You should only pray to God. And no one can, no, I should pray for saints. And he's a big leader, spiritual leader. Until he was praying, and God gave him an idea, and he was convinced he should pray to God only. without anyone convincing, just in prayer. So God reveals the truth. Why I'm sharing this thing? They came to accuse him. They came to judge this lady in the place that God, only God, can judge. Only God can reveal the truth. Only God can judge or convict of sin and guilt. Only God can do it. No matter what we do, we cannot do it. Only God. So they came to him and they started to teach him, or they wanted to accuse him. And he reveals the truth. And we're going to continue. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Okay, so I was thinking about it. Okay, there is a lot of suggestions what he was writing verses from the Bible and writing their sins, and I believe that it's open, yeah? So it's open, so maybe I say my suggestions too, you know, it's open. I thought maybe he wrote the Ten Commandments, and he reminds him with the finger, you know, because he wrote it with what? You remember that? With the finger of God, he wrote the Ten Commandments, the commandments. He wrote the Ten Commandments. Can we say? For me, I checked myself. I was like, okay, let me go and do X-ray, spiritual X-ray, in the presence of God, and start read the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other. Can we say it all together? Can you say it with me? Your English is better than me, I'm sure. Yeah? So can we say it out loud? One, two, three, go. You shall have. Okay, so if I allow the Holy Spirit to do an X-ray, spiritual X-ray, according to the Ten Commandments, I'll say, you have a problem here, and you have a problem here, you have a problem here, you have a problem here. I will be ruined. I will be destroyed. I will be falas. That's it. Finished. And they should be, because there is no one perfect. No one can follow the law as it's written. There is no way. He was trying to tell them, even if you try your best, there is something. Check it. Check your heart. There is something there. You want to play law? I will play law. You want to play with me scripture? Okay. Here is the Ten Commandments. Check yourself. Check your heart. How are you doing now? How is it going now with you? Have you ever cheated? Have you ever cursed your mother or father? Have you ever lost our... after your neighbor, the things of, have you ever done this or this? And the result is, so, which is very important, I want you to hear this. So, verse 7, when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stood down and started to write again. Twice he did that. He said, if you have no sin, go ahead and cast your first stone. And when he did that, and again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they who heard it began convicted by their own, can we go back to John 8, please? Their own conscience. They were convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the least. And Jesus stayed there with the woman. Okay. The difference between God's judgment and people's judgment, and the judgment that the enemy casts on you, is that, this is what we studied on Wednesday, is that when I hear judgment from the enemy or from myself, it takes me away from God. Especially when the enemy accuses me. You're a liar. Once I hear the liar, I want to go away from God because I'm a liar. You're a sinner. Once I hear from the enemy that I'm a sinner, I want to go away. I want to hide myself because the shame and the guilt that I'm feeling, I cannot bear it, especially in the presence of God. So the aim of the accusation of the enemy is to take you away from the presence of God. Even my accusation, when I accuse myself, it takes me away from the presence of God. Look at you. You've done it again, you filthy. You're dirty. You did it again. After you said, I'm not going to do it again. I don't want to do it again. I hate this, but I did it again. So what I do, because of the shame and the guilt, I run away from the presence of God. But Jesus, he said, no. My way is different. They left because what? They were convicted by what? Their own? Read it. By their own what? Conscience. They were not convicted by the presence of God. They were convicted by their own standards. And that leads them to do what? To leave. To run away. And I said that last, when Pastor Al, 2 weeks ago, if they stayed, wouldn't they been forgiven? If they remained in that place, wouldn't they been covered by the grace of God? They would. But they ran away because they were convicted by their own conscience. I'm saying that because I know. When I convict myself, when I put shame on myself, you know, I ran away from God. Okay. So we have a saying in Egypt. Have a conscience. You know? So when someone doing something bad, you say, yeah, you have a conscience, which is means you like, you know, خل عندك ضمير يعني. How do you say it? Have a good. It's like have a good conscience. يعني judge right. Be merciful. Be a good person. In this situation, if I have my own conscience, you know what? I'm going to be vulnerable here. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be. If I judge myself, I shouldn't be here. But I'm here because I believe. But because I believe that God forgives. Because God covers. Because God has grace for us. If I'm here because of my conscience, I would be hiding. I would be running away. I'm saying that I know. If any one of us judges himself with his own conscience, we'll be running away like those elders. But he has something different for him, for her. So they started to leave, and Jesus was left what? Alone. And the woman standing before him. Something nice that I loved it when God spoke to me about it. When they left. I felt God is saying, your accusers will run away, and grace will remain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whenever you go and do something bad, I want you to make sure that accusers, enemy, yourself, people, they will all leave, and only grace will remain. Jesus. Jesus stayed alone with the woman. Hallelujah. Can we say that? Can we say it? Can we say that all my accusers will leave, will run away, and grace will remain for me? Can we say it out loud? Do you believe it? Yeah? Can we say it? All my accusers will leave and run away. Only grace will remain for me. I want you to remember, anytime you fall into sin, you fall into anything, into your weaknesses, I want you to remember that all the accusers will leave you and run away, and the grace will remain for you. Jesus alone stayed for the woman because he has a wonderful plan for her. Amen? And if the enemy, the Bible tells us that he accuses us when? Part-time? Thank you for saying that. Day and night. He accuses us day and night. Night and day, nagging. You're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're a liar. You are doing this, you are doing this, you are doing this. He accuses us day and night. But you know what? We have an advocate. Advocates us also, what? Day and night. Day and night, he's standing in front of the Father. The accuser says, they lied. And Jesus says, I took their lies. On the cross, I carried their lies. They committed adultery. Jesus says, Father, I carried this too. He defends us. Hallelujah. Day and night. If the enemy have the power to accuse you day and night, Jesus has the power to advocate for you to the Father day and night. If your conscience cannot make you sleep day and night, you cannot sleep because you did this big thing. You know what? Jesus, he's the Prince of Peace. He says, I took it away already. I carried this. You shouldn't be suffering. You shouldn't be suffering because I carried this away. He heard they left. Okay, how did this happen? And now we're going to connect it to Isaiah 4. Isaiah 4 saying, from verse 1, can we see the slide, please? And in that day, seven women will take hold of a man and say, we will eat our own food and provide our own clothes. Only let us call by your name. Take away our disgrace. Can you say this last sentence? Take away our disgrace. In that day, the branch of the Lord, who is the branch of the Lord? Jesus. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and the glory of the survival in Israel. Those who are left in Zion, who remains in Jerusalem, will be called holy. All who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem, the Lord will wash away. The Lord will wash away the filth of the woman of Zion. Woman of Zion. The Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. This is a promise. In the Mount of Zion, God will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. Okay? He will cleanse the bloodstain from Jerusalem by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire. Can you say this? The spirit of judgment. Only five people saying it. Okay, the spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire. Is it different here? Oh, the same, yeah? The spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire. Then the Lord will create over all of Mount of Zion and over those who assemble there, a cloud of smoke by the day and a glow of flaming fire by the night. Over everything the glory will be a canopy. So what's the thing about the story of this is like the women in Zion are living in sin and they are fighting for one man and we don't want money from you. We just want to be, your name will be called on us. Take our disgrace. Take away our disgrace, our guilt, our shame. We are living in shame. We are living in guilt. Take away our shame. And the promise is that the Lord will clean the filth of the women of Zion. The Lord will clean the bloodstain of Jerusalem by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire. What's the spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire? That the Lord will show you what did you do wrong. But at the same time, there is a spirit of fire. The original word here, the spirit of burning. Something is burning. Huh? So the spirit of judgment, that I know what I did wrong. But the spirit of fire will take away. It will remind me with the sacrifice that Jesus did in the cross, that took away, consumed what I feel guilty about. The spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire. With the woman that we read about in John 8, the scribes and the Pharisees, they came. Okay, let me ask the question. So, do you think they have the spirit of judgment or the spirit of fire or both or only one or only two? What do they have? What are they coming with? The elders. Spirit of what? Judgment. Do you think they are coming with any chance of spirit of fire? Forgiveness? They are coming to destroy her life. This is the difference between the judgment of the Lord and the judgment of the enemy. The judgment of the enemy and my judgment lacks the spirit of fire, the spirit of forgiveness. When I judge someone, I judge what you're doing is wrong. But you know what? I forgive you. Spirit of judgment and the spirit of what? He will clean the filth of the daughter of Zion by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. And this will be day and night. Again, day and night. Accusing me day and night? Okay. The spirit of fire is day and night too. It says that, hallelujah, that he will create. Say create. Say create again. Create here is the word bara. Bara means the same word that used in Genesis 1:1. God created. God bara heaven and earth. Okay? God created what? God created over all the Mount of Zion and over those who assemble the cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over everything, God created. Bara. Bara is creating from nothing. I don't know, when someone makes invention, they go and register it, they take to make a trademark. Huh? Yes? But patent. Thank you. I forgot. Here, God is making a new patent. He's making a new trademark. He's saying that, you know what? In the Old Testament, you used to judge people. But the new trend, the new trademark, I'm going to judge people. I'm telling them. And I'm going to convict their heart with their sin. But what I'm going to do is that I'm going to forgive them. Show them my forgiveness. This is my new trademark. This is my new bara. I'm creating a cloud of forgiveness. I'm creating a cloud of glory that will cover the whole mountain of Zion. Hallelujah. Oh, it will come and cover all the assemblies, all the people that gather to read the Bible. The assemblies, mainly when the people, they come and assemble to read the law or to read the Bible. He's saying that I'm going to cover those people with my glory. Over the glory, I will make a canopy. Cover. I'm going to cover this. I'm going to cover this with my blood. I'm going to cover this woman with my blood. I'm going to cover her with my forgiveness and grace. I'm not going to allow her to feel shame anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For me, it's a good news. I don't know about you, but hallelujah. I'm going to create a shelter, a refuge. I'm going to create a hiding place. I'm going to create hiding place for you. When the storm comes, when the rain comes, you will find a place in me. You can hide in me. When people come and judge you, I'm in Jesus. I'm forgiven now. I know that I'm forgiven now. Hallelujah. We'll go back to John 8. Read the last verse, two verses, and we'll close with this. When Jesus lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those your accusers? Has no man condemned you?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Really? I thought this is the only thing you do. You convict people. Yeah. But because she said, Lord, no one condemns me. Finished. Neither me, I condemn you. Go and sin no more. She's free. I hope and I pray that the living word that we're studying here will set us free from guilt and shame, from accusation, from the accusation of the enemy that nagging all day and night, and we receive the grace. And by the power of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, by the authority of Jesus, we will see our accusers, the enemy, others, me, myself, will run away, and the grace will remain for us. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. I know that this is the truth, Lord. I thank you that you set me free from every shame and guilt. I thank you that you set me free from every shame and guilt. I thank you, Lord, that you give me another chance. You're giving me another chance to be dedicated to you, to live for you, to sin no more, to have the power, the authority over sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are coming here to set us free. Every chain will be broke in the name of Jesus. You break it in the name of Jesus. Chains of sin and darkness to be broken in the name of Jesus. Chains of self-righteousness to be broken in the name of Jesus. The power of every storm and rain to be broken in the name of Jesus. And will remain in Jesus. I will remain in Jesus. The lies that the enemy casts over me to make me run away, to be broken over my life in the name of Jesus. I will remain in Jesus. I will remain. I will remain. I invite you to stand with me if you feel like it. If you want to proclaim the freedom that God is inviting you to. And start proclaim your own freedom. Start proclaiming your own freedom from every shame and guilt, from every sin and darkness. Because God is creating today a place that covers by His glory, a cloud of His grace and mercy over us today. Whatever you're coming with, your heavy heart, He is here and say, come to me, and I know how to make you rest. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that for this canopy of grace, canopy of your blood, Jesus, that covers us. Cover our mind, our heart, our emotions, our spirit. Thank you for the power of the spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire that works in this place in the name of Jesus. I declare the spirit of judgment that reminds us with sin, hidden sin in our hearts. But at the same time, Lord, I declare the power of the spirit of fire that consume the guilt and the shame. You know the sin. I feel like God is revealing now sin in your heart, in my heart. All what you need to do is to remain, is to stay and say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, cover me. Jesus, cover me. Take away my shame. Take away my guilt. Take away my sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I believe that God is here and He will forgive you. If you want to do that, I'm going to pray a prayer, a simple prayer. You repeat it. By faith, that you will be forgiven and will be accepted in the presence of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the spirit of judgment, and thank you for the spirit of fire that delivers me from my sin and shame. I open my heart. You become the King and the Lord. Take my life. Take over my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.